Blog Talk Radio.
All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio. Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272.
Guest, like I said a minute ago, his name is Dominic
Episcopo, and Dominic is a photographer who's come out with a book called Meat America, and it's about my favorite subject, which is meat and beef, and that's, and if everything's working right, let me push a button here, and I should have Dominic on the phone here with us. Good morning, Dominic. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Good morning. How are you?
All right. Thank you for joining us this morning. It looks like you're calling from, is that Pennsylvania?
Yes, Philadelphia.
Philadelphia. So, you know, the first thing you're not supposed to talk to on the radio is about the weather, but since I'm over here in sunny California, how is the weather over there in Philadelphia?
It's sunny here. We have a beautiful day, but it's chilly. It's in the 50s.
Well, that's not so bad. I guess it could be worse. Spring has sprung, right?
Yeah, it looks like it.
Well, Dominic, welcome to the show. And I've been looking at your website and finding out a little bit more about you. And I have to ask the first question. First of all, there's people who aren't familiar with Dominic's book. It's a really cool book. It's got photographs that are made with meat. And I don't know how to describe it. He's taken meat and put it into different designs, like the United States and presidents. And I guess the first question, Dominic, I have to ask you is, why?
Why not?
Why not? Hey, yeah.
You know, meat is a medium that just hasn't been explored enough. So I thought, you know, let's make some art with meat.
Well, I didn't know. I was going to ask you, do you have like a meat fetish or something?
I really don't. I mean, I know it's not profound or anything, but I really like meat. It's really not as much a fetish as it might appear. But, you know, it was fun working with it. And once I started going, I just couldn't stop. We just made about 100 images with meat.
Oh, it is very interesting, and it's kind of a unique look at meat, and the things you've done are really very interesting. And so I guess I wanted to find out just how you did the project and what was involved in taking all the photos. I know I've done some food photography, not personally, but watched people do it before, and it takes a lot of time and energy just to get that right shot. So I can imagine with this book, there was a lot of time and energy that went into making the book.
Yeah, it definitely did. I learned that making a book is a marathon and not a sprint. and you know, there's a lot of care that goes into each image and trying to understand what I want to do and how I want to prop it and get everything just right. And I'm not using any real tricks to make the meat look better or anything like that than it is,
right,
like they often do in commercial food photography.
Right.
But it's a lot of shaping it with my hands. There's not as much carving as people think, although I do carve it to some degree. It's a lot of molding it and shaping it.
Oh, really? Because that's what I kind of thought. I thought maybe you were cutting it with a knife and doing it. So a lot of it was just formed by hand.
Yeah, because, you know, when I cut it with a knife, you get these kind of crisp edges that look freshly cut. And my goal was to make the meat look like you just found it in the supermarket like that, or you just unwrapped it from the market and it appeared like that. And I find that when I cut it too much, it sort of loses that kind of spontaneity. It feels a little bit like a cookie cutter.
So it looks more all natural, I guess, when you do it the way when you pull it with your hands, yeah. So I guess
I want it to bone, if it's a T-bone or
right,
the fat on the edge of a steak to sort of still take the edge of the steak rather than cut it off.
What did you do with all of it after you took the photograph? Did you have a giant barbecue, or did you freeze it and save it for a rainy day, or what?
Well, a little bit of both. We try to eat whatever meat we could. If I don't, like, play with it for too long or it sits out too long, if it's still edible, we either freeze it or we eat it for dinner that night. And, you know, my wife would often ask, what are we eating tonight? And I'm like, I'm eating Lincoln and you're eating New Jersey.
So now, do you have all 50 states in the book?
I actually don't. I did set out to do all 50 states. But, you know, once you get to the Midwest, and no offense to anybody, but they get pretty boring. They're really just rectangles.
In other words,
I did a few of them. I did
rectangle.
Kansas. And,
yeah.
Yeah, and it just wasn't exciting for me, so I had to stop. I did do more than half of the states. I have most of them.
That's cool. So it just came to you one day where you were like just sitting back in your recliner eating a ribeye or something and say, I think I'm going to take this and start making photographs?
Well, wasn't exactly like that, but, you know, I just, the marbling looks kind of like a roadmap, and because I started with doing states and the United States. Really what I intended was I set out to do a world map in meat. But for the first shot, it was a little ambitious. You know, it was a lot of meat to have to purchase, and I wasn't sure if it was going to work. So I settled for doing a couple states and doing the whole United States, which I could do with one steak.
Right. Well, it's an interesting concept. You know, not a whole lot of people can say that they have made a book playing with their meat, but you're one guy that can say that.
Yes, I'm definitely known for my meat.
So how's the reaction been? Has it been a lot of positive reaction from your book?
Oh, yeah, we've had such a great reception. It's really humbling how many people appreciate it and have bought it, and just online, too. I mean, a lot of the images have just gone viral on so many blogs, and we've gotten so much press. Everything from the Food Network magazine to the Smithsonian, Bon Appetit. Like, I mean, really, it's the outpouring has been overwhelming and it's humbling.
No, it's very interesting. If people want to find your book, I assume they can find it at meatamerica.com, but also can they find it at the other big book areas on the web?
It's not in many places yet. You could buy it at meatamerica.com, which is really just linked through Amazon. So I think you could probably get it on Amazon, that would mean. And for today's the last day, but it's being featured at a discount on fab.com. That's FAB.com.
Okay. And what's the cost of the book now?
The cost of the book is $32.50.
$32.50. Now, are you planning on making prints and that type of thing with the photographs for the book?
Yes, actually, on fab.com, which the sale ends today, there is almost 20 images from the book that you could buy as a print, as like a poster. So they're very affordable, too. I sell them for $40, but I believe that Fab has them at a discount. They're somewhere in the 20s. I don't remember the exact price they have them.
I mean, what a great thing to have in like a man cave. I could just see like big pieces of meat hanging on the wall.
Oh, yeah. This is a Father's Day gift you could sink your teeth into.
Very good. So do you have any other plans? Do you have any other food you're going to play with and make photographs of and make a book?
I don't know what's next for me. I really don't. I do love photographing food. But I'm not sure what the next project is. I've tried a few different things, but I will definitely put it out there when I'm ready.
I just can see you like, I don't know, like I see like Tinker Toys and you building like different little city scenes out of like chicken drumsticks and stuff like that.
The Chicken America.
Yes, exactly. No, it's a very interesting concept, and I think people need to check out meatamerica.com and go get your book. And if they want a poster, it's really an interesting concept. And I think it's an interesting way of looking at art. It's, like you said, the kind of art that I can stick my teeth into, too. And I wish you much success with the book and the posters and everything that you're doing, any future projects. And thank you very much for joining us on the show this morning. And don't play with your meat too much, but I hope you make tons of money with your book.
Thank you so much, and thank you so much for having me and supporting me.
All right, thank you. You take care. And if you come out with a new food book, if you're taking photographs, so let us know. We'll have you back on the show.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right, take care. And there you go, bye-bye, folks. Check out Dominic's book. It's called Meat America, and it's a unique way of looking at meat, and really some cool pictures there, how he's formed all the different, like the states, and he's got Abraham Lincoln, and he's got the United States, and it's all formed, like you heard, by hand. And check out his book, meatamerica.com, and I think you will be pleasantly surprised. It's a really unique gift, like you said, for Father's Day, and a great coffee table book. So on that note, we're going to take a brief break. I'm going to play, I'm going to play my favorite song, which is Todd Berry, Politically Incorrect Redneck, which is sort of my theme song. And then I'm going to come back. We'll be bringing on Jersey Style Girl Laurie with some food news. And then our next guest, who will be Lily, who's coming on to tell me, she can tell me how to eat sweets and stay healthy. So that ought to be interesting. So we'll be back in a couple of minutes with Laurie. Everybody hang tight. And we'll be back right after Todd Berry's song, Politically Incorrect Redneck.
I've always been a rebel from deep down in the South. Get in my share of trouble for what comes out of my mouth. I call them like I see them. Maybe I come on too strong. You got your opinions and the right to say I'm wrong. That's the way I am. What you see is what you get. I'm a free thinking, beer drinking, politically incorrect redneck. I don't hate nobody, don't mean to stir things up. I don't use the right words, I ain't sensitive enough. It's gotten too damn easy to step on people's toes. You sugarcoat the truth or get sued before you know. No matter what I say, somebody gets upset with this free thinking, beer drinking, politically incorrect redneck. I'm sorry, I'm so backward, so crude, so second class. Please help me out and tell me, what's the PC way to say, kiss my ass? Well, I wonder who these people are that sit around all day, making up a list of words we can and cannot say. They got everybody thinking this should be the law. I've read the First Amendment. I know my rights, y'all. Well, call me civil-minded. Well, that's what you expect from this free-thinking, beer-drinking, politically incorrect redneck. Oh, tell them, sir. No regret, I'm a free thinking, beer drinking, politically incorrect redneck. I'm a free thinking, beer drinking, politically incorrect redneck.
That's right. You can tell them all they can kiss my grill. Go look that up in your PC dictionary.
And we are back, and this is the Brilliant Ideas Radio Show, and I am Brilliant Ideas, and we are going to bring on our food news, Jersey Style Girl, Laurie. Good morning, Laurie. Welcome to the show.
Well, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Did you hear that first story?
Dominic is amazing. What a great, great story.
It is a great story. It's very interesting. People who haven't seen his book need to check it out, Meet America, meetamerica.com. It's just a unique idea, and hope everybody
like
checks it out.
I like how into it.
Exactly.
Good.
So what's going on there, Jersey Style Girl? Are you, you have any food news for us this morning?
I have some food news. I have, what do I have, like 10 minutes before my wonderful friend
Lily comes on? 10 or 15 minutes, yeah, because we'll play a little music, and then we'll bring on Lily.
Okay. Well, I do have a little bit about to talk about wine this week. It's actually not a wine tasting, but I have a really interesting story I found. I hope your audience likes it. Even if they don't drink wine, they might appreciate this story. And I was thinking, I'd love to hear what our wine czar, Brian Fairchild, will have to say after I read it.
Okay.
Get his take on it. But before I even read it, I know, Grillion, what you would say. you're going to say, stick to Big Kahuna, and you won't have to worry about anything.
Yeah, stick to Big Kahuna. You're exactly right.
You can't go wrong with that. Nope. But anyway, I'm reading this article. I'm thinking, oh, my gosh. As experts can testify, super detectives in the wine business must study the cork, the glass, sediment, wrapping, the labels, and actually how full a bottle of wine is to determine whether it's the real deal. And as two wealthy wine collectors can tell you, as they square off in court over some questionable bottles, even that sometimes is not enough. This is amazing, but what they say is...
So wait a minute. So what someone's accusing somebody else of selling fake wine?
Selling fake wine.
Oh, boy.
I know. And it's a lot of money. It says here, testimony began in the U.S. District Court in Manhattan over $320,000 that William Koch, a wine collector, spent in 2005 on two dozen bottles of wine that turned out to be duds.
You know, that's what, by the way, that's 160,000 bottles of Big Kahuna, but go ahead.
Okay, my mathematician. It says the trial threatens to, quote, pop the cork on the dirty secrets of the wine auction world. It says at the opening, there was plenty of talk of how difficult it is to be sure a bottle is real and how good a fake can be. It's heartbreaking for a true collector to learn that his wine is inauthentic because it's more than just a bottle and the flavor, Koch's attorney said. And I do, after reading this, I get it. What he's saying is these are linked to history. Great wines transport people to another era. It's not just the juice in the package.
I go into historical areas every time I drink my wine. I go geographically to, I think that comes from Spain. I think Big Kahuna is a Spanish wine.
It is.
So, yes, I travel. My palate travels to Spain every time I drink it.
I thought it was a California wine.
No, I believe it's Spain or Portugal. I forget. I think it's Spain.
But they only sell it, I think, on the West Coast.
We don't
have it here.
It's a private label for Fresh and Sleazy.
Oh, Fresh and Sleazy. Your favorite place. Your favorite place to shop. Well, it just says here that Greenberg, a former billionaire, asserted his innocence as he took the stand. He says, I wouldn't sell a fake wine. I've never intentionally sold fake wine in my life. Koch is seeking compensation for the $320,000 along with unspecified damages, and it says the trial may yet end in a settlement. But this was saying that Koch was duped by an auction brochure that promised the buyers, quote, the greatest wines of all time and extremely rare bottles dating back to the early 1800s. So I guess if you're into the history of wine and you think you're going to have a bottle that was an 1800. You know, I could see why.
Well, yeah, but I'm like, it's like kind of like, why? I mean, I guess they really
because
do. Like,
you can?
I guess because you can. That's true. That's a good point. But it's just like what they do, DNA test on it to find out if it's the real deal?
It's pretty tough. They said, but they're faking the labels.
Ah. Hey, I've been in the label business. I should probably start doing that. I'll take Big Kahuna wine and put some like fake you know whoop de doo wine on there, and I could go for and buy it for $1.99 and sell it for like $20 a bottle. You're just giving me a brilliant idea.
Can you? You know what makes people even think of this stuff? Because it says unscrupulous wine dealers have been known to put fine vintage labels on cheaper bottles, and they try to pass them off as the real thing. Greenberg is not alleged to have done this himself, but Koch's lawyers say he should have known something was amiss.
Well, you know, when you're dealing with big bucks, like you said, because you can, well, you know, how did Barnum Bailey say it? There's a sucker born every day, so there's a lot of people out there who are looking to scheme, so I can see how it would happen. I mean, how would the person know anyway? Most of these guys buy the wine, and they don't drink it. They just collect it and they sit it on their little mantle and impress their friends. But how would they know unless they opened it and had it tested?
Yeah, that's what they said. It's very tough. It's tough to prove.
Wow.
They have experts, and then even with the experts, they say they, you know, it's a tough thing. But just here they said, since then, it's been a bit of a crusade against wine fakery, having sued wine companies, auction houses, and Greenberg, saying in court papers that counterfeiters for years have duped wine collectors into paying millions of dollars for near worthless bottles of wine.
Wow.
And just said, I know. The danger of trading in rare wines was already apparent to Koch, who learned in 2005 that four bottles of French wine he believed had been once owned by Thomas Jefferson was a fake. So he's been duped before, this guy.
Fool me once, fool me twice.
Going once, going twice.
Shame on me, shame on you.
I'll take it.
Yeah, give me Koch's phone number. I got some wine to sell him.
You do the fake label? You're going to call him up?
Yeah.
Aw.
Wow. That's very interesting. Very interesting story.
It was a fun article. I said, like I said, even if you're not into wine, it's just interesting to, like, buyer beware. No matter what you buy, you just sometimes you don't know.
Well, we're going to have to get the wine czar on here. As a matter of fact, I got to figure out when he wants to come on the show, but we'll have to get his take on this, because that's what he does. He goes around the country selling wine.
I know. I would love to hear what he has to say about it, because, he's like, he's the expert.
Very interesting. Well, all right, go to another story. We got time for you got a short story?
Here we go. Let me see. Do I have it? Yes, it's kind of short. I had to stand down to see how short it is. Yes. Farming in abandoned warehouses has become a hot trend in the Midwest.
By the way, I like this idea. This, to me,
you know what?
This is so smart. And of course, you know, some people do it in their house, but they grow other things other than fruit and vegetables. But this is a cool idea.
It is. But then again, when I read on, you'll see what can happen with some of it. It says, with varying degrees of success, as more entrepreneurs worldwide experiment with indoor growing systems in attempts to grow more food locally. This place called Farmed Here in suburban Chicago is attempting to take indoor warehouse farming to a mega farm level in a region of the country known more for its massive hog, corn, and soybean farms than for crops of boutique greens. Here's a rundown on the trend and the challenges indoor farms face. In Chicago, Milwaukee, and other urban areas, entrepreneurs have taken up residence in vacant buildings that have high ceilings and plenty of space. Often they are called vertical farms because within the buildings, the farmers build tall structures with several levels of growing beds, often lined with artificial light. With so much vacant space available, the cost of the property is often cheap to buy or rent, but the power needed to run these facilities is not.
That's the kicker. You got all those lights burning electricity.
The amount of electricity to run the lights that help the plants grow is huge. Yes, heating these massive spaces can be very costly. So experts in the field say this will also be a big challenge for the Farmed Here company because of its size. Entrepreneurs in Germany are experimenting with flickering lights that use less power but still emit enough light to grow plants. That was a good idea.
Very interesting. Yeah, I've heard about this, and it's a good idea in areas where you have a lot of urban buildings and a lot of these, like, destroyed. Exactly. They're empty, and people are converting them into, like, farm areas. And I think they can get organic, too. They can actually call them certified organic because they're not they're grown. A lot of them use hydroponics.
Well, the article is really long. I cut it because some of it got into some of the technical stuff. But, yeah, what they're just trying to figure out, you know, different ways to save on energy, obviously, you know, so they can have these big abandoned buildings and not spend so much on the electricity part. So,
That's a great idea. They have one here, actually, in San Diego that they have started downtown. It's doing pretty well. And, a donation, part of their proceeds goes to the homeless and kind of an interesting concept. So before we go to, I'm going to take a break here and play some music. I have to ask you, since I saw on Facebook, did you get all your little eggs dyed for Easter?
Yes, I did. Wasn't the yellow one with the little chickie on it? It was the bunny.
Yes, it was wonderful. My day was not complete until I saw that photo.
My nieces and nephews are so into the green, so I did a green one and put the G for green.
Well, that's very, very. I thought maybe the G was for brilliant.
Oh, there you go.
You just ruined my day. Anyway, well, happy Easter Eve, and I'm going to take a brief break. You'll like this song, Laurie. As a matter of fact, Jimmy Charles is coming on our show. Let's see, what date is that? April the 13th. He's a past guest, and I really like Jimmy Charles, and you'll like this. I know what your response is going to be when I tell you the name of the actual song. It's called "You're Not Perfect Till You Smile," and you're going to say, "Aw." Anyway, then we'll take a break. Jimmy Charles, "You're Not Perfect Till You Smile," and then we'll I can't speak this morning. Then we'll be bringing on Lily. And how do you say Lily's last name? You know?
You just did it last time.
I know. I got to ask her.
Victoria.
I know. It's Berumen. She's going to have to correct me if I said it wrong, but she's going to come on and tell me how
to eat
sweets.
Let's call her Lily.
Yeah, how to eat sweets and be healthy. This ought to be good. But anyway, we're going to take a break and play the song, "You're Not Perfect Till You Smile." We'll be right back in just a few minutes.
I'm not perfect. Lord knows I try to be. You're not either. We say things we don't mean. Every time I put my foot back in my mind, you let me know just how ridiculous I sound. You're not perfect till that sun spreads across your face. You're not perfect. Sometimes I swear that you're a saint. You make me crazy only for a little while. You're not perfect till you smile. The alarm clock's ringing, the rain pouring down. She's a tango from where we made up last night. It's gonna be hell today to work on 3 hours sleep. And all of that fades away when you look up at me. You're not perfect until that sun spreads across your face. You're not perfect. Sometimes I swear that you're a saint. You make me crazy only for a little while. You're not perfect till you smile. And every time we disagree, oh, this is how it is. You just have to smile. Till that sun spreads across your face. You're not perfect. Sometimes I swear that you're a saint. You make me crazy only for a little while. You're not perfect till you.
Jimmy Charles, "You're Not Perfect Till You Smile." See, Laurie, I bet you went,
"Oh." Oh, I love it. It's the most prettiest song.
Jimmy
really
will
talented.
Be Yeah, he is. He'll be on our show on April the 13th, along with another great lineup of people, foodie folks coming on the show. And we're going to bring on, speaking of that, transition here to another great foodie person, which is, I'm going to call her Lily Cupcake because I can't say her last name anyway. So we're going to have Lily Cupcake joining us. Lily, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Good morning, Lori.
Hi, Lily. How are you?
Good, sweetie. How are you?
Wonderful. So nice to talk to you.
I know. How about you, Grillion?
Listen, you see how our tone changed? How about you, Grillion?
Well, you dare me, and I'm here to prove you that you can eat healthy and you can eat sweets that are good for you. So
yeah, well, yes. I can't wait to hear this. First of all, because I've destroyed your last name. How do you say your last name?
My last name, it's hard to say it. Let's just say it, Berumen.
Berumen. Well, I was close, but I'm going to call you Lily Cupcake. So you're going to tell me that I can eat sweets. This is why I want to have you on here, because you're going to tell me how I can eat sweets and stay healthy.
Well, yes, if you can notice, I have changed my eating habits since, I will say, 2 years ago. I try to eat more healthy and more like organic, of course. And if you notice, like, there's so many kids with overweight and with a lot of diseases and stuff like that. So I start learning more and more and more. When it comes to sweets, and let's face it, sweets are sweets, and yes, you're going to gain weight, and you're going to, but if you can substitute the refined ingredients for good, healthy ingredients, it's going
right.
to be a totally bold game. And for example, if we are baking a cake and we use whole wheat flour, and then instead of canola oil, we use coconut oil, and instead of the chocolates that they come with in a baggie from the store, and then you use raw cacao or that 70% or 80% dark chocolate.
Right.
It's gonna be a healthy dessert.
First of all, I'm gonna interrupt you for a second. I've noticed on Facebook you are like the workout queen now, and you've been. And we've seen a transition over the last, like the last year or so. You've become buff, and you're eating healthy. So whatever you're doing is working.
Yep, you look amazing. You always look beautiful.
Thank you, Lori. Well, I'm trying, and then I haven't achieved my goals yet. I haven't got to the point that I can say, yes, this is where I want to be, and this is how I feel great, and I still have a long way to go. But like I said, eating healthy, it has making me feel way better. I have more energy. It created me consciousness of that I need to take care of my body, that our body is, and you are investing in your body. Like, if you're taking care of yourself right now, when you get older, you're going to have a much better life without your... Maybe you're investing in organic food. It's more expensive than normal food, but
right.
that it's a good thing. I mean, you're investing in your body. You're not gonna need
well,
maybe.
I'm investing a lot of money in beer and wine that goes into my body.
Hey, I love wine. I love my wine. So.
Yeah.
All right. So let me ask you this. So let's say I want to make some brownies, okay? And we'll put you on the spot here a little bit. I didn't tell you I was going to do this, but I'm going to make some brownies. So you're saying what I should do instead of making brownies with the crappy chocolate that they sell in the supermarket, that I should go and make it with either the dark chocolate, like the 70% dark chocolate, or the actual raw cocoa bean and make the brownie using
yes.
that and use wheat flour instead of the regular white flour. Can I use skim milk and stuff like that?
You know what? I'm not a big fan for the fat-free or low-fat or skim. No, because usually that is processed food, like, for example, the fat-free, I don't know, cream cheese. Yeah, it might be not, it might not have fat, but it has chemicals, like, or ingredients that your body doesn't need. Stick with a regular cream cheese, organic if you can, or, I don't know, like, the what else we use? Instead of buying the whipped cream in the, or, like, whip, whatever that is in,
right.
the, in a container, buy
right.
the... buy the heavy cream and make your own whipped cream, and it's way better.
So I can't go out and buy the stuff that you press the button and squirt it into your mouth.
I love ready whipped. I confess.
No. That's not right. But like you said, like for example, you said brownies. You use the cacao or the 70-80% dark chocolate, and that is going to give you, like, antioxidants, flavonoids, sulfur, and magnesium. Those are, you know, those are good things for your body. But
all right, let's make, or tell me, how would I make cookies? What's the best way to make a cookie?
You can still make cookies with whole wheat flour, butter. You know, you just have to use the right ingredients, the healthy ingredients. You can still use chocolate in your cookies. Like I said, instead of regular oil, you can use coconut oil, which is really, really good for you. So it lowers your cholesterol and makes your good cholesterol rise. So.
Now, can I still eat 2 dozen of them?
No. Portion control is the key as well. So. Yeah, but really, I know you want to eat chocolate covered bacon, don't you?
Hey, there you go. She does.
I know you.
Well, I mean, that is actually, that's true. That's called pig candy, and you put that in the oven, bacon, and you sprinkle sugar or cinnamon or chocolate on top of it. So you're telling me I can't have that anymore, though, right?
No.
Well, just
what about turkey
it,
bacon?
Right?
Hey, turkey bacon would work.
Oh, great. That sounds delicious.
So, Lily, are you putting all this information, like, in a cookbook or on a website or a blog or doing anything like that?
I'm still working on my blog, and soon I'm making my own recipes as well, and I'm putting a lot of stuff. So soon my blog will be done. So when I have it, I can give you my blog, and then so you can post it on your Facebook page.
Oh, yes, definitely.
If you want.
Yes, we will. We'll definitely promote it. Now, are you still doing the cupcakes?
I am, but like I said, in a healthy way. So
healthy
I'm not
way.
Doing as much as I used to, because I'm more focused on you know, eating fresh and green and all natural. And another key is include a lot of fresh fruit in your desserts. Include lots of nuts, lots of all of the good stuff. And
well, I do kid a lot, but I have to say you look excellent. We've all noticed on your Facebook page and see your photographs that you're posting, and we see you working out in the gym, doing the crunches and all that. And I get motivated just watching your Facebook page. Now, it doesn't mean I go to the gym, but I get motivated.
You know, and that's what I wanna do. I wanna create consciousness in other people. If I can do it, you can do it. Larry can do it, and it's for our own good benefit. So.
Oh no! Yeah. I always tell people too. I believe. I always tell people you have one body, and I've actually, people who know me personally know I've believe in free weights. I've used free weights since I was like 16 years old when my brothers had their weights in the garage. I started using it. So I've always stuck with. I don't kill myself. I don't belong to a gym. I do home stuff, but I do a lot with free weights. And like you said too, it's eating healthy. It's moderation. Everybody cheats, but you have to work out a little. You have to move. You definitely have to work out your body.
So you don't really have one. You guys only have one body. I have two. I have one in the closet that I keep.
Why?
Oh my God!
It's like a temple. That's what I'm saying. That one body, you got to take care of it.
No, I know, and everybody out there who's listening just said, "Yeah, he's come out of the closet with his other body, so I better be careful where I go with that." But no, you're right. You need to be more active, especially when you're getting old like me, and eat less sweets. But I like the idea that I can still eat sweets. I just got to eat the right sweets.
Yes.
Not two dozen, maybe a dozen, right?
No, maybe three cookies.
Well,
instead of a dozen.
Lily, I'll have to be on the lookout for your recipes on how I can make my sweets more healthy, and keep us posted when you get it on your blog and your recipes together, and we'll post it on Facebook, and so that, and we'll share it with everybody so that everybody can still eat sweets and be healthy and look as good as you do.
Yep, absolutely.
You look fantastic.
Keep it up.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for joining us. And we're going to take another brief break here. And, Laurie, I need you to hang tight because I'm having a little bit of technical difficulties over here again. Lily, thank you for joining us. Bye-bye, Lily. And I'm going to
play another
song.
Bye. Thank you, guys, and happy Easter.
You too. Happy Easter to you. And I'm going to play another song if I can get this thing to work. Bye-bye. Here we go. I'm going to try a little Jim Anderson, because that's the only thing that the system will allow me to play at the moment. And Jim Anderson was one of our past guests. He sounds like Elvis. And if I can play the push the button here. Hold on a sec. It's not working. Here we go. Can you sing and dance, Laurie?
I don't want to lose your audience if I start singing.
Oh my gosh, it's doing it again.
It's
I love Blog Talk Radio. Yes, I do. Okay, I think I got it working here. I'm going to play, if I can get this to work, his song Treat Me Nice. This is Jim Anderson. He's a impressionist. Is that the right word for
Elvis.
He's
great.
And this is song Treat Me Nice. We'll be back here. Laurie, please treat me nice. Hang up tight here and help the song play.
I'm here.
Okay, well, as I play with the buttons here, trying to get things to work again, I think what we're going to have to do, Laurie, is you got any more food news? Because I'm afraid I may not be able to get my next guest. You got any more food news you can pass along while I sit over here and play
sure.
with the buttons?
I have some stuff. Here we go. You ready?
I'm ready. I was born ready.
Yes, you were. Breakfast sandwiches have expanded beyond the classic Egg McMuffin to include wraps and burritos and may be found in both the drive-thru and the grocer's freezer case. I like the Egg McMuffin, I have to admit it.
Yes, Egg McMuffin is the classic.
Yep. It says consumers basically say breakfast sandwiches can take shape as the perfect breakfast food. It's an item that has everything we are looking for, and at the same time, it's been done in such a way that works in our lifestyle. It's an affordable food, it's a fast food to eat, and it's not messy. That's the key. everybody's on the go.
It depends upon who's eating it.
True.
Every time, come to think of it, every time I eat a sandwich, a breakfast sandwich, I think probably, not every time, but at least 8 times out of 10, I'll drop grease on my shirt.
Maybe in your beard?
Yeah, well, that's another story. Nice thing about a beard, though, a beard is it's a flavor saver. So later in the day, you can still taste that Egg McMuffin later on. Like 2 or 3 hours later, there's that Egg McMuffin.
Oh, my gosh. Breakfast sandwiches have seen use in food service for some time. And Jack in the Box claims it was the first major chain to introduce the item in the late 1960s. And I think they're right. I think they're
really?
Right. Oh, I remember going to Jack in the Box, and I remember them. Yep. I don't remember going to, I didn't go that many places with fast food, but McDonald's. I remember it.
I'm surprised at that. I would have thought McDonald's was the first one.
You would think, but no, I vaguely remember Jack in the Box having something like that. I'm showing my age. Over the years, the products have come to represent a good percentage of business at quick service restaurants. Breakfast as a whole now represents about 30% of McDonald's business. Do you believe that? And breakfast sandwiches are a good portion of it.
Breakfast is the most important meal of the day, don't they say?
Yes, they do. It gets you started. Are you a big breakfast person?
No, not really. I should be, but no. I eat breakfast sometimes just because I'm bored and have nothing else to do, but no, I'm not a real big breakfast eater.
Let me eat, I'm bored. I love breakfast. I really love it. If you took breakfast sandwiches away, you are essentially taking away the primary breakfast entree in terms of a drive-thru and portability item. The breakfast sandwich is absolutely vital to the success of the breakfast day. Items such as pancakes, here you go, this is you. Items such as pancakes and scrambled eggs are complicated in packaging. They require condiments and flatware, and they may cause a mess.
Yes,
there has
true.
More of a focus on the use of a tortilla.
Yeah, you got to go to Denny's and get the pancakes and the Grand Slam breakfast with the eggs and all that, but you got
to
sit down with the plate and the
syrup.
And the pork and all that, but there's nothing like Denny's, so
that's the
fun
part.
Yeah, you can't be drive through Denny's. That wouldn't work.
No. It says here, Dunkin' Brands has found success with limited-time breakfast handheld offerings in 2013, including a turkey sausage sandwich and an Angus steak wrap. Doesn't that sound good?
It does sound good.
Yeah. Carbone said in 2010, the company launched a waffle breakfast sandwich, and it was the best-selling limited-time offering in the company's history at that time. But today, it's not even in the top five. So he said it's important for the company to launch newer items that, quote, take us to the next level.
So that was Dunkin' Donuts that had the waffle?
You know what? It said Dunkin' Brands, but I'm assuming it's Dunkin' Donuts. I think that's what the company name is called. So.
Pretty much sure, but I guess that they waffled on that idea and went to something else. Oh, that was bad. That was bad. Yeah, breakfast is the most important meal of the day, and I should eat more because they say if you eat breakfast I think that you end up eating less during the day because breakfast,
you
get the protein and all that, and you're more, whatever, on the go.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
anyway, so is that the end of your story?
That's the end of my story.
All right.
Do you have your
guest song? No, but I'm going to try to play his music. Our next guest is called Halo Music, M-U-Z-I-C. And if you're into techno music, you ever heard techno music, Laura?
I don't think I have.
Oh, techno music is like the newest thing now. All the kids, they dress up in all these weird costumes with furry boots and what do you call those? Fishnet. The girls wear fishnet, not the guys. Girls wear fishnet hose, and they wear wild colors and big sunglasses. And techno is a big thing here in San Diego. In fact, they got a big tech. I don't know if they call it techno, new age or whatever they call it, but they got a big concert going on this summer here in San Diego, and it's like everybody from California, all the young guys go there, and it's like almost like Woodstock. They have 50,000 people show up. It's a big deal. But yeah, basically, Laura, here's techno is like.
I'll have to ask my nieces and nephews about that.
Well, it's a big deal, and this guy kind of has a techno sound, and it's Halo Music, and if the buttons will let me work here. You see I'm stalling for time. I'm trying to get the song to queue up here. Can you tell that? But this guy is really good. I really like his music, and if I can get it to work here, I'm going to play a song. It's called One of One. It's got a really cool beat, and if everything's working right, I'll have him on after the music plays. So here we go. Press the button, and you go. That was Halo Music, One of One, and we are back here. This is the Grand Ideas radio show, and if I can get System to work here, we will be able to talk to Halo Music. Laurie, are you there with me?
I'm here. That was great music. I was
isn't that a great song? I love that beat, and I love that song. It's a great song. And see what I was talking about? That techno.
I just want some dancing. It's really good.
So I think everything's working okay, and I should have our guest here from Halo Music. Good morning, and welcome to the show.
Good morning, and thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Great music. I love that song, by the way.
Thank you very much.
So you are, I guess, am I calling, is it New Age, techno? Is that the type of music you do?
Well, that one song is, you know, kind of the four on the floor, you know, I guess more advanced electronic music. But I view very, it's pop electronic music, much like that of, you know, Chris Brown and stuff like that. The same beat you can find in, like, Turn Up the Music and Beautiful People and stuff like that. So that's kind of the genre that I end up falling into.
Well, I really like it. In fact, I probably played your song in the last week 20 or 30 times around the house because it gets me motivated. I'm around the house when I'm cooking and I'm playing your music, and it's really, really good stuff. So tell us a little bit about how Halo Music started.
Yeah, well, man, that's we only got so much time, right? I've been doing music my whole life. My first concert I did when I was 3 years old. I actually sang the books of the Bible at my church.
Really?
And since then, man, I've just been doing music. I play several instruments. I was a band geek in high school. I was such a band geek that band was the only thing I lettered in. And that was it. So I took band geek to a whole new level. But I've been working on trying to get an album together for a really long time, and I'm a motivational speaker too. I go all over the country and speak at school assemblies and do stuff like that. And this I tell everybody, this process has actually been an 11-year process of trying to get the right producer, trying to get everything happening. I used to dance professionally in LA. I did stuff with all the Step Up guys that are in all those movies. I used to dance with them all the time.
We
go to audition together. We would do, so a lot of them, I know them by first name basis. And I did some work out there as a dancer. And, so when I came back home, I started really getting this thing going and started writing these songs. Some of these songs I've had written for a really, really long time. And about a year and a half ago, I ended up, falling into the right place, the right time, and met the right people, and just through relationships got introduced to my producer, who's a phenomenal, phenomenal producer, as you can tell. And we just really hit it off and started working together. And so about a year and a half ago, my nickname has been Halo for the last 8 years, as long as I've been a professional
dancer. Well, I was going to ask you that. You said that you were 3 years old and you were singing the books of the Bible. I was wondering if the halo had something to do with it way back when you were 3 years old.
Well, it kind of did, because we were I had friends of mine that I've been going to church my whole life and doing that whole kind of stuff. My parents are actually missionaries to Africa and believe in all that kind of stuff. So when people were taking part in some of their festivities out in LA that I didn't take part of, somebody once offered me something and I turned it down. And one of my friends, actually, at the time I was called J Project, and one of my friends looked at me and said, "No, man, this kid doesn't do any of that stuff. He's like a good kid. You know, he walks around with a halo over his head." And he looks at me and he goes, "That's what I'm going to call you from now on, Halo." And ever since then, it stuck. It was like J Project went right out the window and Halo was born, and it's stuck ever since. So,
well, it's very interesting. And then people, by the way, too, that are listening, if you want to find Halo and Halo Music, you've got a website, which is Halo Music, and it's spelled with a Z, MUZIC.com. You can find out more about Halo and about his music and his background. And also, now you're right now working on the CD. Is the CD out yet?
No, the album will be done here. At the end of, we're shooting for the end of April. Okay. As far as it being totally complete. My producer's on tour right now as well, so it gets a little hectic, but yeah, we're shooting for that end of April time frame for it to be all complete and ready for distribution. So.
Now, the album is called Backing Down, is that right?
No, that's my new single, is Never Backing Down.
Single.
The album is going to – yep, the album will actually be will be self-titled. It'll be One of One.
One of
so,
One. Which is the song that we just played. I tell you what I'm going to do is I'm gonna play the song Backing Down, which is your new single, and then we'll come back and chat some more. And everybody, hang tight. This is Halo Music, and the song is called Backing Down.
Never back down, that's the rule. Hands up now, that's your cue.
I'm not backing down. I'm not backing down. We've got nothing left to lose. We've got everything to prove. I'm not ever giving up. No, I'm not ever giving up. No, I will never run the race. I was born to run with the race.
The world, my life is far from being done. I'm banging on the game now, open up.
I'm not backing down. I'm not backing down. We've got nothing left to lose. We've got everything to prove. I'm not ever giving up. No, I'm not ever giving up. No.
Never backing down. If the DJ back off their volume, get that clown. Turn the nightclub to a fight club. Pellegrino in that clear cup. Don't need a buzz to light you up. Going hard and ain't no lighting up. This is Mandalay Bay, MMA. City full of watches in the middle state. Get a taste, try the fame or the fortune. Lambo or the Porsches. Can't throw the fight, I don't give into extortion.
This morning with Halo Music on the show here, and that's more of a rap type song there.
Yeah, it's definitely got a hip hop vibe to it. That's a friend of mine, Wise, who is featured on the track, and when we collabed together, we wanted to come with a almost like a hip hop pop Linkin Park vibe that was going to be a little edgier, a lot of drive, and you know, taking some of the electronic stuff that we've been working with, and it turned out really good.
Very, very interesting. Now, that you're actually making a new video, or the process, did you finish the video on that song?
So, yeah, we just got back from Chicago, and the name of the track is actually Never Backing Down.
Oh, Never Backing Down,
and,
okay.
Yep, Never Backing Down. And we just got done from, we're in Chicago and shot the music video there with producer and director Joel Cappy from Dreams on Screen. And he did such a phenomenal job. This video is going to be, it's awesome. It's got, we had the same stunt guys from that were responsible for doing a lot of the stunts for The Dark Knight and the Batman series. Same with the Transformers. So I mean, we had fighters, we had SWAT guys. You're going to see explosions. You're going to see dancing. You're going to see a whole storyline mixed with a performance line, and it's just going to be a really good video. I'm excited for it to be released.
So when is that going to launch?
It's going to launch here with the album, so it'll be at the end of April. Or at the end of April.
April
here, yeah.
Hey, Laurie, you still there with us?
I am still here.
I think we're listening to an up and coming star right now.
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
Taking 11 years of up and coming, but I think you're there, dude.
Well, we're excited to see what opens up, and the response from fans and friends and family have been just overwhelming, and there's a lot of people waiting for this album to get done. I've actually had Eminem's producer looking at my stuff. I've had a lot of people chewing on it, so it's getting recognition, that's for sure.
Well, you said earlier it is well deserved, and you can tell it's quality stuff. And you said earlier that you go around and give talks to motivational speeches to kids. Can you give a little bit of information and background about what you do there?
Yeah, so I'm really passionate about making people understand that dreams are possible. I'm a small town boy from Superior, Wisconsin, population of 25,000, which I mean it's not totally tiny, but you know, we're up in the north. We're 140 miles away from the Canadian border. My parents didn't have a lot of money growing up. They're not plugged into the social pipeline, so to speak, and we didn't have any connections to the music industry. But I just got, you know, I fell in love with music. I fell in love with dancing, and I worked really, really hard. And I go around and I talk to kids about the fact that if I can do it, anybody can, and it's not because I have anything, you know, more, you know, nothing about me is more special than the next person. And, you know, when I've gone around and I've talked to a lot of kids and spent time with kids and stuff like that, I hear a lot about, well, you know, I had a dream to do this, but so-and-so told me no, or so-and-so told me I need to get my head out of the clouds. And, you know, dreams are healthy. Dreams are something that we need to have. And without a dream, you lose vision, you lose sight, you lose focus, you lose a lot of passion in your own life because you don't have anything. Yeah, you lose hope because you don't have anything you're striving for. And so when I go around to schools and stuff, I talk a lot about that. And I also talk about the fact of, you know, as me as an artist even, I took a look at like some of the people that I look up to. Justin Timberlake vocally, I love his stuff. He's brilliant at songwriting. So I really enjoy his stuff and even Chris Brown and stuff like that. So when I was coming up, I was always finding myself trying to write songs like them. I was trying to make music like them. And it came to my attention that I'm my own musician and I don't need to be like somebody else for somebody to accept me or for somebody to think that my music is good enough. And I think too many times, two students, I remember going up in high school wishing I was like the captain of the basketball team because I was a nerd and I got made fun of. And maybe if I only looked as good as him or I could play basketball like him, you know, then people would want to hang out with me or would, you know, I'd be popular, you know.
Right.
And with that message of one, it says we're created, not once duplicated. If you look at your thumbprint, you're the only one that has it. And my message is unless somebody else has your thumbprint, don't let anybody tell you what you're capable of.
Well,
and,
it's an excellent message.
Wow.
And I know exactly where you're coming from because I was a band geek myself in junior high and played the saxophone. And then, matter of fact, if you go to my yearbook and look under my name, yeah, everybody, they listed all the things that people did, you know, the captain of the football team, most likely to succeed. Mine says general activities.
Yeah. I hear that. Man, saxophone was my instrument, man. I played tenor, alto, and soprano. All
did you?
All
right.
Yeah.
I actually played the bass saxophone too, the baritone saxophone.
I was
the big enough guy to carry it in marching band, so they handed me the baritone sax.
All right.
Well, your music is excellent and your story is excellent, and I love that you're going
very
out
humble.
And giving.
Yep.
It is. It's motivational speeches to the kids, and you're basically showing them that you can be a geek, but you can also do your thing and be an original.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I want everybody to check you out on your website, which is www.halomusic, and the music is spelled with a Z, MUZIC.com, and also check out your album when it comes out at the end of April. And you also have a video on YouTube for your other song, One of One, and they can find that on YouTube. I saw that the other day, and we really appreciate you taking time to be on our show and tell us a little bit about your story, and we wish you much success. And when you cut your album, make sure you keep us posted. I'd love to have you back on again and play some more of your music.
Oh, absolutely. It's been my pleasure to be here, and I'm very honored that you guys allowed me to come on your show.
Oh, thank you. I have to ask you real quick, since it's a cooking show, do you cook?
Man, you know, I cook toast really well.
Hey, you got to cook toast. You got to start somewhere. But thank you for coming on our show and keep us posted as things advance, and you're always welcome.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
And there you go, everyone. Check out Halo Music. It's great stuff. He's got a great story, and we appreciate him taking time to be on our show this morning. I definitely think, Laurie, this is an up-and-comer. I love
him. He's a doll. He's going to be so famous. He doesn't have to cook. He'll have a personal chef cook for him.
There you go. Well, Laurie, we've only got about 10 minutes. I want to go through our schedule here for the upcoming shows. Everybody, thank you.
That's big stuff coming up.
Yeah, really big stuff. I also want to tell everyone again, thank you for supporting us and keep listening. We'll keep bringing on more talent, just like Halo Music. We appreciate him coming on. It's kind of interesting. The longer we're on, the easier it is to get some guests. So I like that, too. So we've got a whole big lineup here. Next
week,
they're
knocking down your door now.
I know. It's kind of weird. It's like, wow. Okay, well, let me see. Let me put you on the schedule in June, maybe. But April the 6th, we have Smokey D coming on. Smokey D, you guys know him on Facebook. He has a barbecue sauce. Yep, and I'm going to convince him to play the harmonica again. He played the harmonica for us, but he's got a new barbecue rub that he's introducing, and he wants to come back on to talk about that. And then we've got Michael Marks, and he's a produce guy, and Michael's going to be coming on talking all about produce. And then Emily Ellen is going to be joining us next week.
Oh, Emily, yay!
Yay, she's got a big announcement to make. She couldn't announce it until next week because of signing all those confidential agreements. And so she's coming on to tell everybody about her new project. April the 13th, we've got Jimmy Charles, which we played one of his songs earlier, coming on with us. We got Katarina, of course, with her sexy shirts, and Dawn Garcia. And Dawn Garcia has her own radio show. She's going to be joining us on the 13th of April. It's called A Taste of Dawn, and she's got a real large following of people on her radio show, and she talks about food, and she's coming on to join us to tell us about her background and her life story and how she got into food and on the radio. On April the 20th, we've got Dr. Janet Brill, and I believe she's a nutritionist. I didn't write down on my notes past April 13th, but she's joining us, along with Sparrow Lane. And Sparrow Lane is a line of oils that's all natural oils. And I believe they've got olive oil and those types of things with joining us. And then a singer named John Black, who's also very good, too. He's another up-and-comer. And then the list goes on and on. The one thing I do want to announce that is on May the 11th, we have a big show planned Now, Laurie, I told you about this earlier, and you have no clue what I'm talking about, but True TV has a show that comes on Monday nights, and it's called Lizard Lick Towing. And Lizard
Yep,
Lick...
I liked them on Facebook. I just liked them on Facebook.
Well, Lizard Lick Towing is one of my favorite shows, and it's about a towing company that's in Lizard Lick, North Carolina. And it's a great show. If you've never watched it, it comes on True TV on Monday nights, I believe at 9 p.m. And it's just hilarious. They got it's these two guys who drive a wrecker and a towing company, and the girl in the office. And it's just it's comical and all the things they come up against. But they're kind of becoming on. Ronnie is he's got a new barbecue sauce called Lizard Lick Sauce, of course, and he's going to be joining us on the show on May the 11th, so that's all lined up. So we've got quite a few things in the works, and we're right now, we're actually scheduling people in June. So thank you for all the people who want to be on the show as guests, and thank you to all the listeners, too. And we'll keep doing this if you want us to. And, Laurie, did you have anything to add? What are you doing for Easter?
Actually, I'm going to my brother's and my sister-in-law. She's going to have a big crowd. So I'm staying local right here in the town of Cranford. And
okay.
I do want to get off the subject real quick and say Lily had mentioned using coconut oil.
Yes.
You know, for being healthy. I actually use actual coconut oil on my face. As my moisturizer. Yes, I do. It sells for like $9.99. It's coconut oil. And I put it on my face at night.
Well, there you go. Not only can you eat it, you can smear it on your face.
You can smear it on your face. And you can use it on your hair, actually, on the bottoms to make the ends healthy.
Yeah.
See?
Well, I learn something every day. Now, if I put coconut oil, that's different than coconut milk, though, right?
Yep. Coconut oil. Mm-hmm.
So if I put that on my face, what happens? Do I glow or what?
It just makes your skin look beautiful.
Oh, there you go. All right.
It's really good for your skin. It's
I'll
a moisturizer.
I'll make sure that I do that. All right. On that coconut news, I will close out the show here. Everyone, join us next Saturday at the same time, same place, same channel. They used to say that on Batman. Do you ever watch Batman when you were a kid?
Oh, of course. Of course.
Tune in, same time, same place, same channel. So we'll be here, too, next Saturday at 11:30 East Coast time, 8:30 Pacific. And thank you, everyone, for all your support. And I'm going to play some Moonshine Bandits. I know you don't really care for their music. I know it's not your speed, but I haven't played Moonshine Bandits in a long time, so... And plus, it's the only button here that seems to be working, so I'm going to play a little Moonshine Bandits, and everyone, we appreciate it once again for joining us. Have a nice Easter. Don't eat too
much
chocolate.
Happy Easter to you, too.
Happy Easter to you, everyone. And I'm going to play, let's go with Shine With Me, and everyone take care, and we'll see you next week.
Cal, SoCal, Green Beach, Georgia, Oregon, Carolina, SC, Texas, Frisky, Lifted, get a piece, four by low, ride trippers, get a mate, truckers, loggers, skaters, fighters, suckers, bloggers, haters, fighters, bottles, foggers, papers, lighters, mutters, boggers, raiders, niners, Japan, Afghan, Iran, Iraq, ship CDs, overseas and back, farm boys, white boys, get a six pack, juggalo, spark it up, can I get that, rednecks, rednecks, rebels, outlaws, shine runs, counter like sunny runs, southpaw, whiskey and women, still what I'm about, huh? If you're shining, get real loud, y'all.
Oh, we've been everywhere around this land. Oh, we've been everywhere around this land. So when your whistle shine, then you'll understand how we've been raising hell across the land.
Charger sound, boy. Pass me the beer for the fireman. Politics suck cause they're liars, man. Now pass me the beer for the tired man. I'm for the common man, to be hired, man. Pass me the beer for the single mom, working for the wicked and singing this song. Pass me the beer for the single dad, working for the wicked and taking some jack. Navy, Army, Air Force, go hard. U.S. Marines, U.S. Coast Guard, red, white, and blue, blue collar bill. Now pass me the Jaeger, make sure it's chill.
Oh, we've been everywhere around this land. Oh, we've been everywhere around this land. So when your will shine, then you'll understand how we've been raising hell across the land. Oh, do you want to shine with me? Oh, do you want to shine with me? Oh, if you want to shine, it's going down tonight. Put your cups up and shine with me.
Who would have thought this music thing was going to go this far? I never asked for this. I never asked for this fast living. The women, the whiskey, craziness. There's whiskey in my soul. Hey, Bernie, let's go.
I've been drifting down that open highway. Finger in the air because I do things my way. The next town's where I call home.
Yeah.
I throw a shot glass down in the light of a smoke. Always raising little hell. Never do what I'm told. I was born with that whiskey in my soul.
With my bottle in my glass, with a marble headstone saying I was a badass. Born on a bar stool, still living fast. Some whiskey in my soul on the day that I passed. Kiss my kids goodbye, tell them daddy was a rebel. Living life on the road with his foot on the pedal. Now it's backstage rooms where the devil likes to pray. With his coke on the counter and a blowing long legs. And my great grandfather was a California bootlegger. Now I sell my own booze, I guess I'm a booze maker. Life's been a dice game, go ahead and call it. Felons on my payroll with a couple alcoholics. Put me in the dirt with my jack in my glass, with the marble headstone saying I was a badass. Born on a bar stool, man, I live fast. And those who didn't like me to kiss my
I've been drifting down that open highway. Finger in the air cause I do things my way. The next town's where I call home. Throw a shot glass down in a light of a smoke. Always raise a little hell. Never do what I'm told. I was born with that whiskey in my soul. I'm a highwayman on a midnight run. Granddaddy always said to never trust no one. And I've had my ups and I've had my downs. And the sheriff wants me out of my hometown. I was born with that whiskey in my soul.
Hit it, boy. Well, it all started back when I was young. Because pops had liquor and pops had guns. Born, bred, outlaw, second to none. The tough stuff, some in the trailer park or slums. Broke as hell, taking money from bums. Just get out on the street and push, wait for fun. Gotta make rent, get her done. One tough little badass, scared of no one. Born in the Greenbee with the cattle and braids. Getting tore up drunk in the old corn maze. Lost in my brain, off the hash for days. Stuck in the pen, making Pruno in the cage. On the back of the tailgate, peak shooter mount plate. Busting off shotgun shots in the sun bay. Raising up my daughter, hope I'm doing this the right way. With whiskey in my soul on this lonely highway.
I've been drifting down that open highway. Finger in the air cause I do things my way. The next town's where I call home. I throw a shot glass down in a light of a smoke. Always raise a little hell, never do what I'm told. I was born with that whiskey in my soul. I've been drifting down that open highway. Finger in the air cause I do things my way. The next town